We'll start today's show in the Glenview neighborhood of Oakland. A couple of years ago, Sonny Lay and his five-year-old son were approaching their front gate after school when Lay saw two men running towards them.
One of them was trying to go around behind us. That maneuver is trying to corral your prey, basically. And the other one was coming right at me, at us, and he started putting his hood over his head. And so I was like, you know, okay, this kid's going to rob us.
His fatherly instincts kicked in as the young man approached.
One of them, the one in front of me, he pulled his sweat jacket aside and showed me his gun. It was a shiny, brand new. And they said, look, don't do anything stupid. My son is here. Here's the money. Take the money and run, okay? Get the f*** out of here. Don't do anything stupid.
The guys took $35 and fled. Lay called the police. They arrived just a few minutes later but did not catch the robbers. In the past few years, Oakland's crime rate has spiked. Last year, violent crime rose 23% and burglaries increased more than 40%. Meanwhile, rapid police response has become increasingly rare. It's been 3 years since the OPD responded to burglaries and other non-emergency calls. Today, we're launching an occasional series examining what's happening in the Oakland Police Department and how the city's residents are responding to rising crime. Reporter Kyungjin Lee brings us that story.
So that's Sector 4. We had nothing on the hotline. It's been pretty quiet. We did have a very peculiar incident that I didn't report. Sorry, but it was...
The Shattuck Neighborhood Crime Prevention Council meets every second Tuesday of the month. From 7 to 10 p.m., dozens of Oakland residents pack the North Oakland Senior Center to report what they've seen on the street in the past few weeks.
Everyone's exiting the park, all like four or five different teams. It's like mayhem, and there's somebody like... you know, on the side of the road working on their car with their hood up and someone else parallel parked next to them. I assume that they were going to get a jump. And
here's a neighborhood resident reporting from North Oakland Sector 4.
And when we came back, the car that had been worked on had been completely stripped, no tires, on four blocks, like all wheels on blocks, and then, you know, just like no sign of anybody. Several other neighbors started saying that they'd seen it too in different like stages of this process.
What this man's describing is most likely a stolen car that was stripped in broad daylight. After hearing the story, someone suggests taking down the license plates of cars like this in the future. There is a police officer in the room, but he's mostly there for support. This group sees preventing crime as their priority.
Okay, anything more on 4? Sector 5?
Oakland has 53 NCPCs throughout the city, all citizen-run. The Shattuck Group was actually the first one. It was founded back in 1994 in response to the city's high crime rate. Don Link has chaired the group since the beginning and says engaging residents was always critical to lowering crime.
When eyes are on the street and the people doing the crime know that, they tend not to be as obvious and not to be as frequent in doing that. And I think that's what has had the effect in the beat. It's no longer okay to deal drugs at Alcatraz and Shattuck or at 66th and Shattuck.
Which isn't to say that all neighborhood problems have disappeared. Link and I meet up on a weekday afternoon to drive around, and he tells me about the recent trends he's noticed.
We're seeing more street robberies where people have a gun put in their face and they have things taken away from them. We're seeing cars being stolen quite frequently. We're seeing burglaries, many, many burglaries.
We keep driving south on Shattuck Avenue. As we approach 56th Street, Link recalls a string of shootings and robberies that happened around here back in the winter of 2011.
The people that were being robbed, of course, were very frightened to have a gun stuck on their face and their possessions taken. So the neighbors came up with something called Eyes on the Street, and this was spontaneous.
Melissa White lives right by here. She remembers going door-to-door and organizing about 20 volunteers. She posted their numbers on the neighborhood watch listserv. The idea was...
if I was coming home, I could call ahead and say, hey, I'll be passing by your house around 10:30. Could you watch out for me? And the person could either just look out their window, or if they felt comfortable, they could actually come out on their porch or come stand in the yard.
She says she used the system a few times and felt a tangible difference on her bike rides home.
And I felt much safer much safer because, first of all, I think muggers look for someone who's alone and there's nobody watching. So if somebody's watching, you know, looking out their window or standing on the lawn, that's immediately going to decrease the likelihood of a mugger taking action.
Up in the hills, about 7 miles away, there's a small neighborhood called Oakmore. It's tucked away just west of Highway 13, below Park Boulevard. Oakmore's also got a problem with break-ins. Burglaries in the area surged 72% in just 1 year, from 2011 to 2012.
This used to be a very quiet, very unknown neighborhood. It's not easy to find. It's not on the, you know, beaten path.
Jonathan Kleins lived in the neighborhood for 12 years. He was burglarized once a few years ago, but he never did anything about it. Then last December, someone tried to break into his neighbor's house while two kids were home. Klein says that got people to act.
We bandied about several proposals, and the one that made the most sense to our small group was, what if we had a private patrol that just patrolled a certain number of houses that was manageable?
Within weeks, about 60 households contributed $800 each to hire a private security company. Two men now take turns patrolling a three-block area, 6 hours each weekday. They're on contract for the next year. They can't arrest anyone, but the idea is to have someone paying attention throughout the week.
We don't have a substation in the hills. We don't have police that can get to your home in 5 minutes or 3 minutes, and it's not going to happen.
A couple of weeks after the patrol hits the streets, I head up to Oakmore to see how things are going. Around mid-afternoon, I run into Taylor Pacheco walking her dog. She tells me the guard's presence has already helped her feel safer.
If someone would come to my door for a delivery or what have you, I would not go to the door. I would be looking out of windows upstairs. I was very, very nervous.
And she says the guards have already thwarted some burglary attempts.
Six at this point. He has specifically run up on individuals that did not live in this neighborhood. It was very clear they don't live in the neighborhood and they were not vendors for this neighborhood. And upon seeing him, they've driven off very quickly. We haven't had one incident since he started. He just started.
I actually ran into a guard. He was driving a car with the name of a security company on the side and wearing all black. He didn't want to talk to me on tape, but he confirmed what Pacheco had told me.
Right now, if you are a young black man or Asian man or Latino man walking around here on your own, somebody is watching you. A lot of people are watching you. And I think that's wrong.
Just down the hill from Oakmore is Glenview, where resident Sunny Lay lives. We heard from him in the beginning of the story. He was robbed with his young son. Lay knows people have legitimate safety concerns. But, he says, he's also noticed a lot of his neighbors profiling people who may not live on his block.
These neighborhoods belong to Hispanics, Asians, and African Americans before a lot of us. Better off, well-to-do people moved in here. And they could still be here. But now they can no longer walk their own streets. You can't assume everybody who walks the street is a potential burglar or trying to case your neighborhood.
The real question is, do we want to help folks that we are labeling as problems? Or do we just want to get rid of them? That's the real question.
This is Rashida Gernaj. She's the director of Pueblo, a community organization that advocates for Oakland's low-income residents. She says many neighborhood watch groups just try to push undesirable people out of their area without a lot of thought to long-term consequences.
It requires some reflection. On the part of folks who are involved in public safety efforts through their NCPC, to really do some reflection and say, what is my real intent here?
The Oakland Police Department will deploy 40 new officers in May. Two more academies are planned for this year. And consultants are helping the department go back to a community policing strategy. They've already gone from two police districts to five, hoping that the commanders will have more time to build community trust. But Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan has said it'll take 5 years to fully rebuild the police department. So for now, a lot of crime control is still being worked out block by block. In Oakland, I'm Kyungjin Lee for Cross Currents.